Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a moonlit jungle sub-sign bass line in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it the right way. Clean, controlled, and still full of movement. If you've ever tried writing sub for drum and bass or jungle and ended up with either a flat boring rumble or a muddy mess, this is the fix. We're going to create a proper sign-based sub, shape it so it stays tight under fast breakbeats, and then add just enough harmonics and glide to make it translate on real systems. First, let's set the project up like a DNB session should feel. Set your tempo somewhere between 172 and 174 BPM. If you want that classic modern drum and bass pace, 174 is a great default. If you're leaning more jungle, you can sit a little lower or let the groove feel looser, but keep the session disciplined. Also, make sure your MIDI grid is on 1/16 so you can place the bass line with enough precision. And while you're building, keep your master headroom healthy. Don't chase loudness yet. Aim to stay around -6 dB peak so you've got room to work. Now for the sound. Create a MIDI track and load Operator. Operator is a perfect stock choice for this, because it gives you a super clean sine sub without any unnecessary drama. Turn on oscillator A, set it to sine, and mute or disable the other oscillators. Keep the filter open, or just turn it off if you're not using it. Set the synth to mono, so you only get one voice at a time. That's important for sub. We want focus, not a smeared low end. If you want a little glide later, you can enable portamento or legato, but don't overdo it. A short glide can add soul. Too much glide and suddenly your sub starts acting like a lead synth, which is not the vibe here. Let's shape the envelope. For a tight drum and bass sub, keep the attack extremely fast, basically 0 to just a few milliseconds. Decay can be medium or a little longer depending on how sustained you want the note to feel. Sustain should sit steady, and release should be short enough to avoid clicks, but not so short that the note sound chopped off. A release somewhere around 40 to 120 milliseconds is usually the good place to start. Now tune the bass to your track. This seems obvious, but it matters a lot. If your tune is in F minor, your bass line should know where the root is. Use your piano roll, use a tuner if you need one, and make sure the sub is actually supporting the key of the track. A sub that's technically clean but harmonically wrong will never feel powerful. Now let's write a bass line. Here's the key idea. A sub-sign line in DNB should feel like part of the groove, not a giant note sitting on top of the drums. So instead of holding one note forever, think in terms of rhythm. Start with a simple two-bar pattern. Put root note hits on strong drum accents, then add a few short pickup notes between them. Leave space for the snare. Leave space for the break. In jungle, that space is part of the rhythm. In rolling DNB, that space gives the groove its bounce. A good way to think about it is call and response. The first half of the bar asks a question, and the second half answers it. Maybe bar 1 starts sparse, then bar 2 becomes a little more active. Maybe the bass lands with the kick, then sneaks a short note before the next snare. The point is to make the line breathe with the drums. A really useful tip here: mute the bass and listen to the drums by themselves first. Get the groove in your ears. Then bring the bass back in and place the notes where the energy needs weight. Don't write the bass in isolation and hope it works later. DNB always tells you the truth at the drums. Now let's add glide. This is where the bass starts to feel alive. Enable legato if needed, then set the glide time somewhere subtle, maybe 20 to 50 milliseconds. Use it on note transitions where you want a little movement, like into a downbeat, or at the end of a phrase. You can also let a note slide into the next bar as a small tension move, but keep it tasteful. In this style, glide is seasoning, not the main dish. You want pressure, not cartoonish sliding. Next, let's clean the sub with EQ8. Even a sine wave can benefit from a little correction. Use a gentle high pass very low down, around 20 to 25 Hz if needed, just to remove useless rumble. If the bass starts feeling cloudy or boxy, you can make a small cut somewhere in the low mid area, maybe 120 to 250 Hz, but be careful. Don't carve out the actual weight of the note. The goal is clarity, not thinning it out. And here's an important mindset shift. More low end is not automatically better. In DNB, the best sub is the one that feels huge without eating the whole mix. Now we add a little harmonics. A pure sine can sound amazing in the studio, but on smaller speakers it may disappear. That's why we add a tiny bit of saturation. Drop in saturator after the EQ. Choose something gentle like soft sine or analog clip, and keep the drive low. Start around 1 to 4 dB. Then compensate the output so you're not tricked by extra volume. This is not about making the sub obviously distorted. It's about helping the bass translate. We want it to be felt on club systems, heard on headphones, and still identifiable on smaller speakers. A little grit goes a long way, especially in darker DNB. Now let's control the bass movement against the kick. You can sidechain the bass with compressor if your kick needs room. Set the kick as the sidechain input. Then use a moderate ratio, around 2:1 to 4:1. Attack can be fast but not necessarily instant, and release should be fast enough that the bass breathes back in time with the groove. The goal is to let the kick punch through without killing the low end. If the bass layer is truly just sub, keep it mono with utility. Set widths to 0%. That's standard practice. Mono sub. Wider character on the top layers. Always. And speaking of layers, this is where you can make a subsign plus version. Duplicate the MIDI onto another track and make a second layer that lives higher up. Maybe it's the same notes an octave above, or maybe it's a filtered, saturated version that carries more audibility. High pass that layer so it doesn't interfere with the true sub. Add a little drive, maybe a little overdrive or roar if you want extra attitude, but keep it under control. This second layer is what helps the bass read on smaller systems. The sign layer gives you the foundation, and an upper layer gives you presence. Before you go further, check phase. This is one of those pro-level habits that saves you pain later. If the sub and the upper bass layer are fighting each other, solo the low end and flip polarity on the top layer if needed. If the combined sound suddenly gets fuller, you found a phase issue. If it gets weaker, flip it back. Small move, big result. Now let's talk groove. With a jungle break, the bass line should leave room for the ghost notes and sliced rhythms. You're not trying to fill every corner. You're trying to answer the break. With a rolling kick snare pattern, the bass can land more directly with the kick, but still leave space before the snare. That little air pocket is what keeps the groove from sounding jammed. A very useful trick is to change note length like it's part of the composition. In fast jungle, a few MIDI ticks can be the difference between punchy and messy. So don't just think about pitch. Think about note length, placement, and space. Now bring in subtle automation. You can automate saturator drive slightly before a drop. You can shorten release in busier sections. You can nudge glide time a little higher in the second phrase. If you have a harmonic layer, you can automate a low pass or band pass on that layer to create tension. Just keep it subtle. The groove should still do the heavy lifting. For arrangement, don't leave the bass line on repeat for 8 bars without change. A good DNB arrangement evolves. Try intro, build, first drop, breakdown, second drop. In the intro, maybe the sub is absent or heavily filtered. In the build, tease the rhythm with only the top layer. Then in the drop, bring in the full subsign pattern. In the second drop, make a variation. Add a glide, swap one note, or introduce a small octave hit to make the section feel bigger. That evolution is what keeps the track moving forward. Here are a few advanced ideas worth trying. Add ghost notes with very low velocity right before a main hit. They shouldn't dominate. They should just imply momentum. Try rhythmic displacement by nudging one note later by a 16th in the second half of the loop. Tiny shift, huge groove change. Or use an octave drop at the end of a phrase, then fall back to the root on the next bar. That's a classic way to make a phrase feel like it's breathing. You can also resample the bass once it's working. Print it to audio, then chop it, reverse tiny sections, and turn it into a new fill. In Ableton, this can be more inspiring than endlessly tweaking synth parameters. Sometimes the best move is to freeze the vide and edit the audio like a drum loop. Quick recap. Set your tempo around 172 to 174 BPM. Build a pure sine sub and operator. Keep it mono. Tune it carefully and shape it with a tight envelope. Write a bass line that locks with the drums instead of overpowering them. Add subtle glide, light saturation, and sidechain control. Then create a translated layer. Use automation for movement and arrange with variation so the track keeps evolving. If you remember just one thing from this lesson, make it this. The best sub in drum and bass is not the loudest sub. It's the one that pushes the track forward while staying clean, controlled, and just mysterious enough to feel huge. Now your practice challenge. Build a 4-bar rolling subsign bass line at 174 BPM. Use a pure sine sub, a harmonic layer, at least one glide move, and at least one variation in bar 4. Keep the sub mono, use no more than 4 different notes, and leave at least one rest in every bar. Then duplicate it and change only the rhythm. Listen to how much the groove changes just from spacing alone. That's the Rebel lesson here. In DNB, rhythm is king, and the bass line is part of the drum programming. All right, let's make it hit.